Hello, everyone. Welcome to the first Think Now Research podcast. This is a monthly podcast we'll be doing, which will go over one of our research reports. For those of you who aren't familiar with Think Now Research, we are a culturally integrated market research agency, which means that we integrate Hispanic, African American, and Asian insights into custom market research for companies and government agencies looking to thrive in a changing demographic environment. You can find us on our website, thinknowresearch.com, and on Twitter at thinknowtweets. My name is Roy Eduardo Kokoyachuk, and I'm here with
Mario Xavier Carrasco.
So the study that we're going to be looking at today is a special cut of one of our millennial research project reports. This one is an Asian American cut, so it's Asian American Millennials. If it's something that interests you, you can download the full report on our download section of our website, thinknowresearch.com. So Mario is going to be pulling up the slides. If this is something that interests you, you can stop the podcast, download the report, and follow along, but I'll paint pictures with words so that you can sort of follow. So the report itself is based on a survey that we did of 1,500 respondents. And specifically, we looked at Hispanic millennials, compared them to older Hispanics, as well as non-Hispanic whites, Asians, and African-American millennials. When we're talking about millennials, in this case, we're talking 18 to 34-year-olds. It's a nationally representative sample, and we set quotas for gender, age, U.S. region, etc. So it's a very nat rep sample of this target. So in terms of some of the key findings that we'll be going over, we're going to be looking at this particular report, which deals with technology and media and entertainment.
Jumping in, we broke it up into sections here. The first section we'll talk about digital product usage. And one of the things that we see across the board, we had all millennials, Hispanic, Asian, and African American, rate how much they agreed or disagreed with the following statements. What are the statements here that we use?
The first one would be ownership of smartphones, laptops, etc. So, you know, currently own one of these products.
And so we find across the board, looking at smartphones, very high rate of ownership among all millennials, as you would assume. But at the top, we have Hispanic millennials, 92%, and Asian millennials at 90% owning smartphones. Laptop computers, interestingly, Asian millennials top the group there at 84%, with the next in line being non-Hispanic white millennials. And we start to see some bigger differences. Tablet ownership, 73%. Of Asian millennials. Next there in line is, again, non-Hispanic white millennials at 67%. And desktop computers, which you would assume that millennials for the most part don't own that. And we see Asian millennials kind of bucking that trend at 61%. I mean, that one's interesting, Roy. Why do you think Asian millennials would over-index in ownership of desktops that are...
Right. Well, what I'm seeing is they're over-indexing in laptops, tablets, and desktops, so all three. Right. A lot of it has to do with affluence. So we did a wave previously, which you can also find on our website, financial services and banking. And Asian millennial group, their income is about 30% higher than the next group, which is non-Hispanic whites. So they are considerably more affluent. So anything to do with ownership of any type of electronic device, they're likely to over-index in.
No, that makes sense. But when I think of desktop computers, I think of it as kind of legacy technology too, right? So I mean, they're over-indexing in everything, but I don't know. I guess they're holding on to desktop computers. I don't know.
Yeah, well, as you can see, their ownership of desktop is at 61%, whereas smartphone is 90%. So
right.
Laptops is 84 and tablets is 73. So as we move forward in time, I would expect that number to decrease.
So, I mean, on that note, looking at the next slide here, we drill down into which operating system is most popular among the different millennial groups. And iOS, the Apple operating system, is easily the top operating system among Asian millennial smartphone users. Based on some research we've done previously, I think we've done mobile research across a couple of waves. And for Hispanics, non-Hispanics alike, Android is always at the top. But again, Asian millennials bucking this trend, 52% of them having the iOS Apple system. So, and interestingly, second in line there, Hispanics at 41%. But if we look at Android, all the other groups are above 50%, with African Americans, 55% have an Android operating system on their smartphone, 53% of non-Hispanic white, and 53% of Hispanic millennials versus only 43% of Asian millennials. So again, I think that's tied to affluence, right?
Yeah, it's definitely tied to affluence. Also, Asians, from some of the other research we've done, kind of like Hispanics, there is a brand loyalty among Asians. They tend to support brands and sort of affluent brands or aspirational brands. They're very frugal financially, while they're very financially much better off than other groups. They are, however, careful how they spend their money. But when it comes to something like their mobile device, they want what they consider to be the best. And Apple phones, for better or for worse, are considered to be the best by a large group of people.
True. Yeah. There's brand loyalty. And I think that's something that's important among Asian millennials that we've seen, is also, I guess, brand recognition, right? And that's that's the sexier brand, Apple. Next slide here, we looked specifically to see, we wanted to see what millennials are doing on their mobile phones, if that differs across the different groups. So we asked, which of the following activities have you done in the past 7 days in your mobile phone? Use a search engine like Google or Yahoo, listen to music, watch a video, sent a text to someone you know, visited or used a social networking site, used an app. And let's see, some of the interesting differences. Social networking jumps out to me. 69% of Asian millennials saying that they've visited a social networking site, and that's on the low side. African-American millennials at 67%, almost the same. But if we look at Hispanic millennials, 3/4 of them visiting social media. So social media, not as important to Asian millennials, right? I mean, it's important, I mean, with almost 70%, but not at the rate of Hispanic.
Right. Actually, we do look at social media separately, I think, in one of the future slides. And they use social media a little bit differently than other millennial groups. So we'll be getting into that. And then, the basics, such as, use a search engine like Google or Yahoo on their mobile device, they're all above 80%. And
music
is also very big. You're right. Highest among Hispanics, but Asians are, interestingly, the second highest. So
yeah, Hispanics at 82% of the time that they've listened to in the past 7 days, listen to music, and Asians at second, like you mentioned, at 75%. Pretty much on par with African-American millennials. And I remember a cut of this deck where music was particularly important to African-American millennials. So it's interesting to see that it's on par there.
Yeah, it's interesting. The lowest is non-Hispanic white at exactly 71%. Music tends to be a way for the ethnic millennials to connect with their culture a lot of times. So that's likely one of the things that's feeding into this as well.
So here in this next section, we're going to delve a little bit deeper into social media habits and how that differs from the other millennial groups, starting out with just average hours spent on social media per day versus average number of times they use their cell phone to update, check in with social media. So here's some of the differences that you were mentioning, right, Roy? I mean, in terms of mean hours per day spent on social media, Asian millennials are the lowest. Well, slightly lower, at 2.2 hours per day, whereas African-American and non-Hispanic whites at 2.6 hours per day, and Hispanic millennials at the top at 2.7.
Yeah, so we'll see this again as well for gaming, I think, where they're actually on the lower end. So social media, it's lower, gaming is lower. So it's just an interesting trend. That's hours per day. We also asked average number of times that they use the cell phone to update or check social media. And in that case, the Asians were pretty close to everyone else. Yeah. So it's like 4.3 for Hispanics, 4.1 for Asians, 4.3 for African Americans, 3.8 for non-Hispanic whites. So it doesn't appear that they're actually checking in less. They're just being more efficient about it, spending a little bit less time on these sites when they do.
Here we were looking what kind of apps millennials have used in the past 7 days. And looking at social networking, it looks like, again, the usage isn't too different. With Hispanic millennials, 72% using some sort of social networking app. Non-Hispanic white at 67%. Asian at 70% and African American at 66%. So in terms of, you know, frequency and the types of apps, it's pretty similar. But like Roy mentioned, it's not the frequency, it's just the amount of time actually spent when opening the app. So, and one of the things I'm thinking is that what that means in terms of implication for marketers. And I think that when you're targeting Asians online, you have a shorter window of time to grab their attention, unlike Hispanics or African Americans that are spending more time. So if you're serving some kind of messaging or ad, it really has to resonate with Asians since they're online. Well, on social media, at least, less time, right?
Yeah, and it's interesting in terms of content. You know, there's a section here where we ask about whether they're looking for content specifically that speaks to them, either in language or culturally. They do, and there's a lot less content available to them and a lot fewer actors, for example, on film and television that are of Asian descent for them to actually see. So it may also be...
Which interestingly, though, there's like just recently, I mean, this year there's Master of None, Aziz Ansari. It was one of those kind of surprise hits, so... The Netflixes of the world or the online streaming are kind of tapping into that, right? I think it's actually one of the, if I'm not mistaken, I think Master of None is actually the first lead Asian sitcom, right? And it's become really popular.
Right. Well, there's Fresh Off the Boat.
Off the Boat is another one.
Yeah. Also featuring Asians. So I know that Asians are really thankful. If you read some of the social media comments, if you ever go on one of those shows and look at the comments, they're really thankful that they're being portrayed in the media in a positive light or in any light, really, because
not a negative light.
But historically, Asians have really not gotten very much media exposure, unlike African Americans. And Asians and Hispanics, not that Hispanics and African Americans had very positive role models on television in the past, but at least they were on television. Asians, it's more of a recent phenomenon to start seeing them as lead characters in
film. And what's good is that the shows are doing well, so that bodes well for future. I know you recently saw the that Pixar movie. Didn't they have an intro where it was an Indian short in front of a movie? I don't know if it was Good Dinosaur or one of those.
Well, we know that there's more Asian content being created because Hollywood, especially in the film industry, is relying more on Asian box office.
Right.
So, So they will insert scenes. Well, previously, they had two versions of films, right? So where the ones screened in Asia often had an inserted scene or two that featured Asian characters that were usually left out of the U.S. screening. What we're seeing more now is the films actually
doing away
with the second cut and actually incorporating that. So if you saw The Martian, there was a whole scene about how China helps NASA launch a rocket into space to go save our astronaut and it was done in Chinese. I believe it was done in Chinese.
I wonder what Chinese Americans think about that, because that's a nod to China, right? But I wonder what Chinese Americans think about that.
Who knows? But anyway, the Chinese were actually portrayed in a heroic light in that movie. So I think that's a real change, yeah. You know. And so there's just more, you know, for Asian Americans now to see, you know, positive depictions of Asians in media, where that just wasn't really there in the past.
Yeah, and on that note, back to the research here, talking about content, right? That one of these things that we hear out there about millennials in general is that they love to create content, right, and post it online. And that's not necessarily true for Asian millennials. They actually have the lowest incidence of regularly commenting or posting online content. I don't know if we captured in social media. I guess this is just in general, but Asians have 47% agree to the statement that they always or regularly comment or post online content. And then the other millennial groups are pretty similar. Hispanic millennials, 56%. Non-Hispanic, white, and African American at 57%. So Asians are more passive.
Yeah, that's
consumers of online content.
That's a solid difference there. That's a 10%, you know, difference between the other groups, which takes us to the next question we asked, which was the inverse of that. Yeah, so one is I regularly post. That's 47%. And the other one is I prefer to view other people's online content than post my own. And Asians are on the higher end for that. They're at, you know, 65% of them prefer that, versus Hispanics, which is 55, which is the lowest. So Hispanics tend to be more engaged, less passive. Asians tend to be more passive, less engaged.
Yeah, that makes me, I wonder if there's a tie to the number of hours, right? Because I feel like it takes more time to create and post content than it does to consume it. And so maybe that's the difference there, right? Where we're seeing Asians spending less time online because they're not necessarily contributing to the content, right? Whereas the other groups are somewhat regularly commenting and posting online, and that takes more time than opening up your phone, seeing what's going on in your social media feeds, and then putting your phone away.
Well, there's a couple different aspects of this. One is to comment, right? And the other one is to actually create, right? Actually, go back that slide, because what we asked for, I prefer to use to view other people's content than I am to post my own. I mean, posting your own content can either be a YouTube video or it can be, you know,
sharing a link.
Yeah, you know, and that sort of thing. I think Asians perhaps maybe a bit less socially inclined to share their opinions, unsolicited opinion in the public square.
Right.
Whereas, you know, some of the other millennial groups perhaps more likely to do so.
That's
possible.
Yeah, yeah. In our next slide, we were looking at sources online that would most influence millennials to go to the theater, so watching kind of traditional movies in the theater, and also which sources influence programs they watch at home. Pretty similar here, but I think some of the big differences is Asian millennials, I guess, they're more influenced to watch a movie when they see something on social media. Is that what the data is pointing to there?
It's not a big percentage of any millennial group that say that social media influences them. So it ranges from 13% to 17% of them say that social media influences. Now, Asians are on the higher end of that small group at about 16%. And African Americans and non-Hispanic whites are on the low end at 13%. So of the millennials that say they are influenced, Asians tend to be on the higher end of that scale. And then similarly, when we asked a similar question, which of the following sources would you say influence the programs you watch? And then asking whether social media is an influencing factor, about 18% of Asians said that social media was an influencing factor. And that's about average for the other groups.
So that concludes the section on social media. On the next bit here, we delve into TV watching and entertainment habits. The first slide, of course, looking at streaming TV. We have two graphs here. One side, a proportion of all TV hours watched from a proportion of streaming TV. Then getting a sense of how they will watch in the near future. So exclusively or mostly streaming. And for both of these, Asian millennials are at the top. So 39% of Asian millennials streaming TV. So 39% of the time they're streaming TV, right? And then 50% of Asian millennials saying that they'll exclusively or mostly stream in the near future in terms of the content that they're going to be watching.
That's a key number. And by the way, this tracks well with some numbers I saw recently put out by Nielsen. And it was a whole thing about how Asians are leading the cord cutting phenomena. So the fact that we're seeing that Asians are the highest group in terms of proportion of watching streaming TV in this is tracks nicely with the Nielsen findings. More interestingly is what's going to happen in the future. That 50% that expect to be watching it exclusively by streaming in the future, that compares to all the other groups are in the 30s. So African-Americans, Hispanics, non-Hispanic whites, you know, it's from the low of 30% for African-Americans expect to be watching it that way in the future to 37% of non-Hispanic whites, but none of them are anywhere near the 50% that Asians say that they'll be watching their content exclusively. Yeah,
not only does it track what Nielsen kind of tracks with our conversation about the streaming services taking the lead in terms of creating content that depict Asian characters. So maybe Netflix was on to this before Nielsen was, right? That they realize there's a large part of their base that's exclusively streaming. So why don't we create some content that caters to them?
Yeah, that's reminding me. There was a program director, I think, from Netflix speaking in a forum. I remember listening to him. And they, so Netflix, for example, doesn't release viewership numbers, right? Why? Because they don't have to. They don't rely on advertisers, you know, to sell ad space on their shows. They make their money from subscribers.
Yeah, they got slammed by an executive at CBS recently. Did you read about that?
Yeah, yes. And so the economics work, you know, differently for the streaming services. They can create content that will appeal to a small but passionate group of people if it keeps them as subscribers, right? It's possible that Asians are better served by a company like Netflix, because they can find a show there that they love, and they'll keep the subscription just for that one show, even though it may not have big viewership numbers overall. It's enough to keep, you know.
Yeah, and it reminds me also what your comment about music being a way to connect to culture, right? We see the ethnic groups over-indexing in music consumption, but I think also content is a way to connect with your culture, right?
Yeah.
And to that point, in terms of culture, here moving on to the next slide, we wanted to know if, and this is we're looking at only Hispanic and Asians because that's the only, you know, the non-English language would streaming would be relevant, right?
Mm-hmm. And this one's just Asians.
Oh, this one's just Asians. Okay. Mm-hmm. So this slide here is just Asian. We wanted to take a look, you know, are Asians streaming non-English programming? And they are. So the question is, have you streamed any non-English language programming in the past 30 days? Looking at Asian millennials as a whole, 42% of them agreed with that statement. And then we broke it out by U.S.-born and foreign-born. And as you would assume, this number is driven by the foreign-born, with 47% of foreign-born Asian millennials having streamed non-English language programming in the past 30 days. And I think equally as interesting as U.S.-born, 40% streaming non-English programming. I wonder, did we capture language, or it was just across the board Asians, right?
Right, yeah. So the way the research was done among the Asians is that we set up quotas for
each of the subgroups.
Chinese descent, Korean descent, Japanese descent, Indian, basically matched census figure. So we could go back and cut that out by
what country of origin, each subgroup,
but overall it's 42%.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know of any. Well, I guess on cable there are, you do see kind of like Chinese language, but I don't think you see anything beyond that. So there's another opportunity for streaming.
Well, YouTube is another, right. YouTube is another big source of Chinese language content and Hindi content as well. We saw that as well for among Hispanics. Hispanics also go to YouTube to find episodes of novelas that they might have missed. Mm. And they're usually posted up on YouTube after they air. So it's a similar trend.
And another point, moving on to the next slide, another point that's connected to, you know, culture. We wanted to see if the ethnicity of the actor is relevant to Hispanic, Asian, African American, millennials. And so we asked if a new TV program has actors of the same ethnic background as you, what impact does this have on your interest level in seeing the program? And this ties to our conversation, right, Roy? Asian millennials top this at 58% agree with the statement that makes me much or somewhat more interested in the program if the actors have the same ethnic background as you. And interestingly, Hispanics are at the bottom there at 45%. I mean, that's still a good amount, but I don't know. That's surprising to me.
Well, not so much. I did Spanish language copy testing for about 10 years. So I tested all of the Spanish language television commercials for P&G, SC Johnson, Energizer, etc. And we asked this very similar question. No, actually, we didn't ask it directly. What we did is we looked at scores for television commercials in terms of their recall scores, persuasion scores, likability, etc. And then we went back and looked at the commercials to see whether they had Hispanic-looking actors in them or white-looking actors, African-American, etc. And we found that Hispanics didn't care so much what the actors looked like. So this idea that you need a Hispanic character in a commercial to appeal to Hispanics is not true. However, we're seeing that here.
It's more about the themes for Hispanic, right?
It's more like the themes that resonate.
Hispanic themes, not necessarily.
Not so the actors, because Hispanics can come in all different shades, right? Asians, however, they really do care. They want to see Asians on television and in the media. So I think
that's also driven by, well, like we mentioned before, that they haven't been represented in the media. And when they have, it's a very stereotypical Asian actor, right? And so maybe that's being driven by that as well, that they want to see more of themselves, because one, there isn't many Asians to see on TV, and the ones that they did see weren't necessarily favorable.
Yeah, right? So they're kind of starved for it.
And then here, you know, directly, we just asked, moving on to the next slide, how much of an influence would you say your cultural or heritages on each of the following? And this is, this cut is specifically for Asians, and we broke it out by U.S. born and foreign born Asian millennials. And we see that foreign born millennials over indexing here in terms of connecting with their culture via music. So 26% connecting with their culture via music. This is the foreign born, and 31% of foreign born connecting via movies. And the reverse is actually interesting as well. The U.S. born, 17% versus 26% were music. That's a big difference. And I guess the U.S. born using movies more to connect with their culture, 20% versus 31% of the foreign born.
Yeah, so similar trend, I think, to the music and stuff. But it's definitely something that, in terms of music you listen to, If we broke that down, there's probably a lot of Bollywood music that is probably in that 26%. Yeah. If we're looking
K-pop,
at
K-pop, Korean,
yeah, that stuff is pretty sticky. Yeah. I mean, you can kind of listen to that too in the background and enjoy it too. But there's probably a lot of that in there. And then movies you watch, it's, you know, we'd have to break out, you know, if they're in, like, Bollywood music, so there's a lot of content. And there's actually more, a lot more content actually coming out of mainland China now, too, in terms of movies. So a lot of, they just bought a large production company here. They paid like $100 billion or something for it.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, they're basically making a big play. So this, as more in-language content becomes available, these numbers might, you know, actually increase, especially among Asians, considering that Asian immigration is continuing.
Foreign-born
Asians, but the it's the fastest growing minority group. Asians are, and so in language, you know, speakers, you know, Chinese speakers, Hindi speakers are going to increase because they're growing at a faster rate than any other group right now. So that's going to continue.
And just a comment here, anecdotally, I was speaking to someone from a research company, born in Hong Kong, last week, and talking about culture and the difference between Hispanic culture and Asian culture. And she was telling me how culture isn't necessarily pushed to the next generation as much in Asian culture like it is in Hispanic culture, right? Hispanic culture, it's a big deal to want your children to know about Hispanic culture and pass that on. Whereas in Asian culture, country of origin isn't a big deal. It's more about other things, values, I guess, success, things that we see reflected in the data. And I don't know, it's interesting when she told me that, and it's kind of showing itself in this data where I guess the country of origin isn't as important to pass on to the next generation.
Like things
like language and I don't know, an appreciation for your home culture. Mm-hmm. Whereas Hispanics, I guess we just kind of take that for granted that, oh, of course, other minorities are passing that along, but that's not necessarily the case.
This
is anecdotally, of course, but this data point kind of points to that.
Yeah, and I think, of course, that'll also change by country of origin. So if you look at the Vietnamese community, you know, the Vietnamese community here in Orange County, for example.
She was Chinese, but
I'm thinking of the Vietnamese because a lot of them left, you know, under duress, you know, Vietnam because of the Vietnam War and whatnot. So maybe looking just to start a new life and make a break with the past, but that's something we could explore in a future survey.
And I think this is a good time to wrap it up. We're about halfway through here our presentation, but we wanted to keep the podcast here at 30 minutes. So if you're interested in going through the rest of the deck here, you can download it at www.thinknowresearch.com. We have a download section and we have this up available for free.
Yeah. And one of the things that I wanted to mention is there's some really interesting data on what themes resonate with different millennial groups and Asians. And that one, I think if that interests you, you definitely download it because there's some interesting data on, themes that resonate, you know, with,